We had a Christmas pageant, my very last Christmas, at Trinity Church, the first congregation I was ever rector or leader of. Trinity was a little stone church right on the coast of Maine, in one of those picturesque New England towns. The pageant, written by one of our parishioners, had very few spoken lines, something we all thought and hoped would lessen the performance anxiety of the children who were given specific roles in the play. And so the narrator, a well-spoken, earnest 12-year-old girl, did most of the talking as angels, shepherds, animals, and the Holy Family moved through their paces, uttering the occasional line just for dramatic emphasis. Little Chaz, that's C-H-A-Z, Chaz, was cast as Joseph, faithful husband of the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Jewish teenage girl who had said yes to the angel and now 9 months later needed a place to give birth. Chaz was the shortest and most delicate child in the parish. Not much taller than a fire hydrant, he sported a mass of curly blonde hair and was allergic to everything, including the Christmas greens. That night, dosed with his allergy medicine and resplendent in a green velvet embroidered vest that his mother had made for him for the occasion, Chaz was ready for his part, ready to deliver the one very important line he had been given to say. At the appointed time, he was to walk across the front of the church holding a small, bright, lit lantern. That's what St. Joseph is known for, the lantern, in order to guide the couple's way. And he was to cry out, "There is no room at the inn for us." But as one might expect, despite the best efforts of the playwright and the parish, Chaz, the angels, the shepherds, the animals, and the Virgin Mary herself all were gripped by performance anxiety. And so when Chaz's big moment came, looking very dapper in his vest, he walked across the front of the church, completely speechless, while carrying an unlit lantern lifted high in his small and shaky hand. Most of the people there that night, of course, were not aware of the line that Chaz had dropped, or even the fact that his lantern was supposed to be lit, but I was. And though it was, of course, all just about a little boy's performance anxiety, I went another way with it. I thought to myself, how perfect that this little one, in his stunned silence, lifting high his unlit lantern, is expressing just how lost and adrift the beleaguered couple actually was, and just how shocking it was and is that they could find no place of light and human hospitality in which to give birth to the Holy One of God. Biblical scholars, always trying to be helpful, are quick to point out that the text is a little more ambiguous than the typical Christmas pageant portrays it to be. The word we usually translate in, I-N-N, in Greek simply means a room for guests, and so it's quite conceivable that what's being said about Mary and Joseph is only that they weren't able to get a guest room in someone's house, presumably because so many were in town on account of the census that needed to be taken in order to tax everyone. And so they had to bed down for the night in what the story calls a manger, where the animals were kept, typically in an area under the house. This was the spot, according to Luke's story, where Jesus was born. For me, regardless of the specific place the couple gained or did not gain admittance to for the night, Luke's point seems to be that Jesus was born into a family that, like most everybody else, was subject to imperial mandates and counting and taxation, and that the birth occurred in a place of great humility where the animals were kept, a place one would never, never expect a new king to be born. And so Christmas is all about expectations. Our expectations that during our time on the road, which is at all times, we will encounter hospitable inns, or at least guest rooms with our names on them along the way. Christmas is all about expectations, our expectations, that the world will be a place where the weary will get their rest, where the innocent will find shelter, and where all of us will carry lanterns with enough light in them to find our way in the dark. Christmas is all about expectations. And so, God help us, at Christmas, we both get to be in touch with our high expectations of ourselves, our families, our friends, our churches, our communities, of the world itself, of life in the world itself, and we get to practice having those expectations frustrated and in some cases shattered. We get to practice finding ourselves down with the animals instead of in the guest room or the hospitable inn. We get to practice inhabiting a story. I would call it a sacred story, that if we listen to it carefully, we see that things are shaky and going in the wrong direction, a direction we would not have predicted and that we don't like at all. And we get to practice not becoming paralyzed, as we ourselves inhabit this story. For this story is for our inhabiting. And there's more, of course. For it's not just about practicing how we won't respond to this story, that is, with paralysis, this story of frustrated and in some cases shattered expectations. It's about how we will respond to it, the next thing we might do. Let me say a little more. Might sound like a little excursion, but it's not. Poet William Stafford from Kansas, but came to the Northwest, taught at Lewis and Clark College. Poet William Stafford taught many writing courses and talked to many students about the writing process. One of the questions he was often asked was what he did when he encountered writer's block. You know, that thing about not being able to come up with anything in the face of the grand writing we had in mind for ourselves, the grand thing we were hoping to produce. Stafford's response was simple. He said this, "I never have writer's block. I just lower my standards." He was so attached to this idea, in fact, that he came to believe that the rough treasures that would later become the center of his most provocative and wise poetical works were found only in the writing he did in which he had lowered his standards, that is, accepted the material that flowed from him that did not meet his expectations, that when he started there, good things were eventually on the way. And so tonight, strangely, I want to tell you to lower your standards. That is, lower your expectations that the hospitable inn or the welcoming guest room is the place where you need to be for God to be born in you or through you. Lower your standards. Lower your expectations that your lantern or lanterns in the hands of others you love or know will always be lit. Lower your standards. Lower your expectations that the Prince of Peace, the lover of souls, can only be found in a story, in a narrative, in which things are stable, predictable, and favorable. Lower your standards. Lower your expectations that liberation, peace, justice, or healing will be found in the places where we would normally expect them to be. Live instead in and from the disappointing mangers that God has made available to you. For these are the kinds of places where our God was born and out of which real creative life in God emerges. So, in a sense, I believe that in the story from Luke, Joseph and Mary had to go to the manger to birth Jesus into the world. The Prince of Peace and Mighty Counselor, as we call him, had to open his eyes for the first time in a place that some would say was beneath him. And we have to be willing to let go of our expectations and to go to the manger and find our life there. Find the new and creative life in God that wants to be born in us and through us. And so go. Go to your family and lower your expectations so you can receive the gift of who they actually are, both hard to take and lovable, both imperfect and brilliant. Go to your workplace and lower your expectations so that you and your workmates can experiment and learn and fail and then learn again, rather than be crushed under the oppressive yoke of workplace perfectionism, something I know quite a lot about. Go to your communities and lower your expectations so that you can meet the people in your communities where they are and who they really are, and with God's help, assist them to get to the next, perhaps better place. Go to the world that we live in and lower your expectations about how things should be or not be. Lower your expectations so that you are not paralyzed by everything going on, so that you do not hold yourself back from the actions, however imperfect, however partial, that you are able to do to help. Go to the church, and thank you very much, by the way, and lower your expectations so that together we can both accept its imperfections and work to create a new thing informed both by the one born in an animal stall and headed toward a cross. And finally, go. Go to yourself. Go to your very self and lower your expectations, so you can discover the rough treasures, the mangers, where you will create something new. Go to all these places and do not be afraid. Do not be afraid, for the Holy One of God, the Lord of life, born this night, works in and through the frustrated expectations, the fragile flesh, and the real and creative life in God that becomes available to us there.